listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 25th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you as always, and happy to have those joining us live in the chat as well as those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so looking forward to our chat tonight. We're going to be kind of going over a few different things, but of course, you know, the most important thing we're going to talk about tonight is my level of congestion. It comes and goes. It comes and goes. This is just the way I am now. I'm thinking about having my, sinuses surgically removed, maybe burned out. We'll figure it out. Whatever takes away allergies.
Well, you've had some pretty strange weather where you are, too. Up and down, cold and hot and allergy stuff, so...
It has been at that. I think we've gotten down to the 40s. Might as well be an ice age, but ooh. I tell you, it'll be 40s and the 30s at night, and then by the time the afternoon rolls around, it's back up to 80. I'm like, pick a season, geez. But
that's pretty crazy, because isn't it normally around 70 or 80 consistently at this time of year for you?
I'd say it's around 70 is pretty consistent, give or take 5 to 10 degrees, but. But no, it's been nice. I can't complain too much. No massive snowstorms, hurricanes behind me. Looking forward to the next hurricane next year, but that's months away. So, but no, it's good.
Well,
it's good.
We're all doomed, right?
Exactly. one of the things we're going to be talking about tonight is chaos, or adversity, amongst other things. And Dr. Vicki, we were talking about the infamous doomsday clock prior to the broadcast.
It was released this past week that we're 90 seconds to, what does it say? 90 seconds to midnight for the first time ever. So, and we're in unprecedented danger. Danger. I don't know.
I blame it on the lack of good Netflix programming, but I think Dr. Vicki has other ideas.
they've been talking about this a long time, right? I mean, it's been... Oh, if it's not war, it's the climate, it's people, and the list is long of why they would push that clock up to 90 seconds to midnight. But basically, they're saying that at the push of a button, we could all be annihilated. that's been
just another day.
That's been true for 100 years, right, or 80 years or something. So that's not new.
And right.
We just keep hoping that people can keep their hands off the button. I don't know.
Now,
how do you deal with adversity? How do you deal with that when there's so much fear mongering? And there is a lot to be aware of, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so, it's a violent planet.
Yeah, maybe a good place to start out would be, what's the difference between fear-mongering and people that are trying to raise awareness and, you know, and trying to maybe change the trajectory?
I know, and, you know, for, I think, in my view, it's equal. It's just who gets the loudest microphone and who gets the most print and who gets the most attention, who yells the loudest.
Yeah.
You know, because, and think about it, most bylaws in a city or, you know, an area, a community, the bylaws changed because, like, three people screamed. And you know, lobbied their local council people, you know. It's not because there was thousands of people, because usually all those, you know, sign this whatever and we're going to send in 50,000 signatures. Nobody reads that. They don't care. It's the three people with the loudest voices and the most money.
Right.
And that's kind of how it goes. So there's way more, in my view, there's way more. The numbers are greater of those trying to do good than there are do bad. It's what we give attention to.
Absolutely. I think great example and proof of the fact that there are more people trying to do good than bad is the simple fact that we're here, that we've, you know, managed to progress to this point where we bicker and we complain and we fight with one another, but a lot of times these days those fights are verbal. As opposed to, you know, with axes and things like that. So it's a step in the right direction. Of course, the Vikings can't, you know, push a button to destroy the world, but, you know, you have your pluses and minuses. You got to take the good with the bad, bitter with the sweet. But, no, adversity, chaos, these are always things that we've dealt with as a species. It is a double-edged sword, to be sure. I know that chaos is inevitable, and the one thing from chaos is we can carve order out of chaos from time to time, and chaos does allow for a period of change. Change can be good. Not always. That's why we're afraid of it, but change can be very good. So I think that's something to keep our eye on.
Yeah, all things are relative, because those who are in an oppressed kind of, even unknowingly oppressed situation, they don't see it coming when something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and look, let's historically take, for instance, you know, North American natives. Oh, you know, we're trying to make friends with a white guy, and next thing you know, there's colonization and our population's nearly wiped out. You know, I mean, just little things like that, Michael. You know, there are people who are unknowingly casualties of those who have, you know, power.
True.
Put it simply.
You know, kind of the sad thing is a lot of the people that are doing a lot of the harmful things in the world, be they the, you know, colonialism or what have you, are also, unfortunately, unwittingly doing a lot of things because they don't understand, they don't see, they don't comprehend, and it's, you know, nobody thinks they're the bad guy.
That's of course not.
One of the constant truths. But and everything is complex. You know, there's a lot of layers to things. But you know, I do think about, you know, how things are relative. You made that comment earlier, and for whatever reason, a historic example popped to my head. You know, that we talk a lot about the European Crusades under Catholicism, launching attacks on the Middle East and the Muslim kingdoms and all the devastation. What we don't really talk about so much in the West, maybe it's because it doesn't really pertain to us as much, is Genghis Khan and how he unified the Mongol tribes, and he laid waste to the Western Asian, you know, especially Persian, getting into that, not getting quite to the Levant, but entire cities leveled. And I was thinking, well, better to be alive now than then. But then you kept talking, Dr. Vicky, and you mentioned, you know, people aren't aware of, you know, the disaster looming on the other side, especially back in the, you know, medieval period in the, you know, area of Persia, where, you know, they didn't really know really well exactly what was on the other side of the horizon. You know, they have people living in these giant, massive, you know, beautiful cities. Baghdad was one of them. Baghdad was so utterly... Baghdad, a center of learning, science, culture, leveled by the Mongolians, and it took... You know, still quite hasn't recovered to this day, if you ask me, but...
Well, and even now, I mean, it's hard to imagine that Afghanistan in the 70s and 80s was really leading the way for equality, you know, very futuristic, progressive. Women were all educated. And, of course, now that's, if anybody's, you know, listened to the news, I mean, women cannot have jobs anymore.
So Afghanistan,
they can't,
really?
Can't go to school. And so who saw that coming?
Yeah,
you
true.
Know, there's this...
well, that makes me think of Iran.
Well, yeah, and so there's this political something going, and in the blink of an eye, it takes a trajectory that you say, what happened?
Yeah.
And I think it was always stirring in there, but it's like, oh, now what? And so they fight their way back, and everything as it is in cycles.
Kind of the pendulum swing, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, I see that as... You know, people, and again, those the more enlightened ones, the more awake ones, and they get their voices strong. Again, there's going to be casualties, but they rise up again. So this rise and fall of, you know, certain movements that happen, whether it's a recession, economy, a cultural movement, you know, even, you know, country takeovers. It's like... There's always a cycle, and I think where we're at right now is that there are so many, like I know it was mentioned in the chat a few minutes ago, Dr. Mike had said it's no different than 40 years ago. The difference is that there was no internet back then.
Awareness.
So what we have now is mass communication, but that's also filtered. It's censored in, you know, varying levels, and let's... Never mind Twitter, and never mind all that. I'm even talking about the news. What headlines do they pull out for today when there's so many other things, you know, that you have to really go to your community news to know what's good.
Right, and what's yeah. Good. And that's
good
very
in
true.
Community.
You know, I think a lot in the West, we look at places like China, where they infamously have the Great Firewall of China, where, you know, the entire Chinese populace is, their internet access is heavily censored. But I have to think about here in the United States, we do have freedom of press in not just the United States, but many Western nations where our, you know, listeners and our members are, have freedom of the press. But I can tell you in the United States that freedom, the censoring is not so much by an organization, in my opinion, as it is by sensationalism, chasing dollars, chasing views, chasing clicks. Mm. What drives that? You know, creating drama, creating chaos, creating a significant event, so you will exaggerate the threat, which creates a heightened level of, you know, a heightened level of stress, a heightened level of readiness that just is constant. You're always on edge if you were to dial into this all the time. But again, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. We have mass communication, but we've also I think lost sight of a lot of the gains that we've made in the last century. Yeah, things are tough. The world is crazy. The world was crazier a century ago. The world was tougher a century ago. Again, take out climate change and the ability for us to kill us all, but, you know, it's just for the day-to-day life of an individual living.
Dr. Mike says greed on a lot of exclamation marks.
Well, true enough. True enough.
Yeah.
But
so I think you're right. I think the conversation really is meant for us just to be aware of these things.
Well,
when you're aware of it, then you can filter better.
Absolutely.
Like, what I will occasionally do is go to a number of different media sites. You know, whether that's CNN, and in Canada, there's a number of outlets I go to. And what's the consistent ones? What's the ones across the board everybody's
right.
talking about? And then going to the subtitles of, oh, you know, they are picking up different pieces of news.
Sure.
But generally speaking, they all cover the same things. I even go to the BBC and again, me just observing. Oh, yeah, they've got, man, you can go to U.S. and Canada, and they've got the same headlines as U.S. and Canada.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
And if once we realize what we're being fed, you can see past that a little. Oh, there's another thing to watch. And my thing, and I totally concur with Dr. Mike, is follow the money.
Absolutely.
So whenever I hear of a political movement or I hear of something going on, I say, oh, follow the money. Where's the money in that? You know? And you can generally figure out the source.
Right. I mean, and it's, you know, not always nefarious. You need resources to do things. You need money to organize, to promote things. There had to be, you know, financing for the civil rights movement and a lot of different causes. That being said, you know, just be smart. Be a critical observer. And I also, you know, when I am the indisputed emperor of the world without any, you know, restrictions, just total and absolute rule, I will be banning 24-hour news. Just because it irritates me. I don't like the idea that there's always, you know, some kind of something on. I don't really watch news. I don't really watch the TV for news. I read a lot. I read a lot of news magazines. I keep up in the papers, but I can't stand 24-hour news. You know, nightly news, especially local stuff, meh. Although, again, that's another controversy here in the U.S. It's one company that owns most of the local stations, so you do get a lot of repetition. But I think, you know, another one thing that I wanted to approach the idea of chaos and adversity and loss, which we're going to get to as well before we get to our cards, is that it is difficult, it is painful, but it is also opportunity. It is opportunity to reflect, to grow. If something is... if you're faced with an adversity that you don't yet have a tool set to combat, what an excellent opportunity to accelerate your learning, to accelerate your education. I think that Metaphysics Institute and TFUD help with a lot with that, with life skills, with the ability to tackle these things as they come up, unpredictable things that come up. So it's, you know, it's a complicated world out there, and we have to try to navigate it. So we get hit with adversity, we get hit with chaos. How are we going to adapt? How are we going to adapt, and how are we going to thrive? And perhaps how are we able to find opportunity and to push the continual evolution of humanity forward a bit? I don't mean just physically. I mean spiritually, socially, intellectually. How are we going to keep adding to the Wittabot? How are we going to keep pushing this forward, and how are we going to get that doomsday clock down to, let's say, 2 minutes?
Hmm.
2 minutes to midnight.
Well, the key word there is spiritually. To spiritually know who we are, you know, we're a spirit in a body, and so we're more than just this organic sum, you know. And I think what you said intellectually, I think, is to keep our mentality clear. And we all have something in us to survive. We can go through enormous struggling and suffering and still persevere to live. That's what's most extraordinary about human beings, is that we still want to live. We don't necessarily roll over, you know, unless we don't know that we're going to die, you know.
Right.
So we have this will, this determination, but don't let them take your spirit, and don't let them take your mind. That's to me the key thing. Do what they will to whatever the circumstance, but you can't have my mind.
Oh,
you know,
totally.
I can see through that. And you know, a lot of times we have to comply with the rules even if we disagree. You know, I don't care if you disagree with masks. I don't care if you disagree, you know, that there's a pandemic. I don't care if you disagree. What my question is, if I do this and this and this, what will it serve? You know, it's like, to what end? And if you know that it's futile, put your energy where it's better served. So it's like, don't throw your perfectly good energy away on something that you know you can't fight. And you're
well,
because you're not going to win, and you're just going to bring on more suffering to yourself. So put your energy in a good place.
You know, and I think we've been talking a lot about the macro, kind of the overview, things in the world that are happening that are often outside of our control. Even though we can make a difference in our community, in our sphere, and by doing that, if enough people do that, then those communities add to the overall mosaic, mm-hmm. and it does change what's happening, it does change the outlook, but we cannot control the macro. We can only control ourselves. And I think that's a good segue to getting into the other avenue of adversity and chaos, and that's personal loss. That's grief. That's when, you know, a person that is family, friend, a person that is a part of us, part of our tribe, part of our group, our pack, it's when, how do we deal with losing them? And, you know, that is something that's on much more of the micro, much more of the personal. That's something that can, you know, come out of nowhere and throw your life for a loop. And, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, just, you know, in my own way. And, you know, one thing I've been reflecting on is how much the people in our lives shape us, and how when one of them is kind of plucked away, and when one of them moves on to the next phase of existence, shall we say, the trajectory of our lives can change. And I think that's something to be aware of too, and to be careful of. You know, not to spiral into a dark place, but to perhaps, you know, if we're feeling a lot of grief, but perhaps to hold on to the good that came from that. I know that when, you know, somebody that's so close to us, when we feel that loss, it's a piece of ourselves that's gone with them. But, you know, it is better for them to have been in our lives often. And it can, holding on to that really kind of carries them with us, but it also carries the lessons and the wisdom and all the things that they tried to teach, helps us carry that forward. The flip side to that is a lot of times, and this is, you know, we don't have to simply talk about loss in the terms of, you know, death, but when we remove people from our lives, we change the trajectory, we change the energy, and we can try to control the chaos just a bit. But,
well, I'm totally with you, Michael. It's just something that a little twitch in there when you said that a piece of us goes with them, and that's when I say call your spirit back, because that's when we come. That's when I think grief can overtake us, is when part of our spirit or our energy goes with someone who's passed over. It's we must remain 100% intact and being able to learn to live with pain, because that's what it is. We're living with that, and it never goes away, but it becomes more comfortable. And anybody who says just move on or get over it is ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we're moving through our lives with an empty space, and that space, it becomes a small void. We fill up the time, we fill up the energy, even though, as you say, that somebody is an integral part of our makeup. And you know, I've had a lot of hits in my life too, Michael, where it's kind of like I feel like they should still be here or are still here. And it's the grief is the same today as the day they left. But I've learned to live with it. And there is no time and space. It can be 30, 40, 50 years. And there is no time in that. The feeling
right.
is the same. And so we learn to move through that and forward, because we're still here. And again, for that will of spirit, that we're still here. And but, you know, loss can take a lot of forms. And as we know, there's a lot of displaced people on the planet. And it could be moving to a different culture, you know, missing your culture. I, for one, I miss civility. I grieve a time when
your heart aches for it.
I know, when things were more civilized. And I reflect on that quite a bit. And in my lifetime, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in the chat and those in the archives listening, we remember a time when we felt safer, that we felt healthier, that we felt a greater camaraderie with our community, and we felt like there was more civility. I grieve that time, and but I remember it, and thankfully I remember it. So it's we're grieving life on many levels, and learning to be in a new place constantly.
Yeah.
And of course, yes, people and experiences, you know, the huge amount of impact, you know, even highlights of experiences in your life where it's come and gone, you know. It's in people, like, it's a big one. But again, that's a whole topic unto itself, grief, and I think we have talked about it in previous programs, but it takes on a new kind of view at times. And as we grow and mature, you know, we can find, new articulations for it, because we're that much more evolved, I think, or growing and learning. So.
Absolutely.
That's what I think.
You know, it made me think about that old phrase that, you know, time heals all. Doesn't heal it. It just scabs over so it doesn't hurt as bad all the time. Until you think about it. You know, heck, you know, I've lost family, I've lost friends, I lost pets. It all hurts when you reflect on it. But there's a reason for that pain. It's because of all the greatness that it brought to you. And just keep pushing forward. Remember that... you take the good with you. If it was, a chaotic kind of relationship, a lot of times we have people in our lives, family, parents, often they can be, a big old mixed bag. They can be wonderful in some ways, difficult in some ways, add dysfunction, you have issues. And when they pass, you know, all of that, I don't know, it becomes different. You look at it in a different way. But I will continue to say that the best thing that we can do is we can continuously wade through the chaos of change, of constant change, and we can find the good, we can find the opportunity, and we can push forward to, you know, try to keep building that better world. You know, the reason we're all here, obviously we have inherent curiosity, and that truly binds us, but it is... The end effect is that hopefully if we continue to do good, if we continue to try to raise awareness, we can keep pushing, you know, pushing the ball forward, keep moving things forward, that we will have a better world, that we will have a less chaotic world, maybe one where we even have some civility. But
well, I agree. Dr. Kevin has reminded us it's the human condition. And I would only like to add in here that historically, human beings in dealing with grief and loss and change were also much busier with getting through a day and didn't have the same amount of time and energy to spend on emotion. You know, I mean, it's there, don't get me wrong. I think most people, when they had tragedy and loss, they just short-circuited and became nuts, you know. But I can certainly say that about, you know, in my family. I know I have a grandmother who, you know, had some experiences in life, and she just lost her gourd. Yeah. But everybody deals with it differently. Life was a very different thing back then. So,
and I think a lot of it is also, how do we deal with, well, who was that person to us? I think that some people can go crazy from loss. For some people, and I hate to say this, but it is true, the loss of somebody in your life, maybe that wasn't a positive influence, could actually change the trajectory for the better. I'm not saying that, you know, don't go out and kill people you don't like, but I'm just saying that there is a great swath of different reactions. And don't beat yourself up for how you grieve or how you feel. You're human, you know? Part of the human condition, as Dr. Kevin said, is existing in this world where we all deal with loss. We're all on this cycle, and eventually we get off. We move on to the next phase.
That's true enough, Michael. You know, when somebody passes and their suffering is removed, we are relieved for them. No matter what they meant to us, there's that flip side of not just pain, but the relief and the joy that someone's no longer suffering. You know,
that's very well said. Beautiful.
Another way to see things.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't think we could possibly kind of cap that discussion on a better note.
Well, and we're going to shift into the next portion of our program. It's cards, and we have some names down already.
We do.
So let's
all right,
kind of start with that. Let's
well,
get
we're gonna,
into it. I think
like all things in life, we're going to transition. And so, Yeah. All right. So we have Deb. And Deb, tonight I have for you number 33, preference over principle. Let's see. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. Good, Carl.
You know, actually, it's one of my favorites. If you want to know, Michael, I call upon that quite a bit, preference versus principle or preference over principle. But Deb, you have the Five of Clubs in support of that, and I think there may be a situation at hand, this is saying, or a situation or experience where to sort out that preference versus principle, then you'll rise above. Because that, to me, that Five of Clubs is success without the battle, even though there was a challenge. So, and it just might be sorting through something for yourself. And, you know, whether it's people politics, work politics, you know, whatever else, if it's just a preference that you have, you know, shrug it off. You know, if somebody else has got the responsibility of the bills anyway, it's not your movie, right? So it's just sorting that out. So I think that's just a reminder for you, Deb.
Good advice. That's good reminder for all of us. All right. And we have Dr. Mike next. Dr. Mike, happy to have you. I have number 27, gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy discussions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Boy, I don't think we've pulled that one in a long time, Michael.
Yeah, in a minute.
I got Emperor in support of that, Dr. Mike. Geez, gains and Emperor. It lends to being your own boss, your own, finding your own kind of a new empowerment. And that's not to say you haven't felt that way before. I'm just saying it's like taking on a new edge of putting out energy where you'll benefit. So it's like moving one thing over to benefit in another place. But I immediately got a picture in my mind of you writing a book. And if it's not a book, it's certainly a paper. And that you're the authority in this, so you're giving it your take, and it's going to be very well received, especially with the gains card there.
All right, all right. So we have Jamil next. Jamil, tonight I have for you number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
The moon. Now, the moon is an interesting support card to groundedness because you might have no facts from which to base your opinion or thoughts. So the moon is all of the mystery, the unknown. You know, there's so many energies to the moon. But groundedness, if you're facing a situation, Jamil, where you only have your gut feeling to go by, you got to trust that gut feeling. Staying grounded in yourself, keeping your own sensibility, no matter what kind of information's coming at you, is just be in that quiet place, like, I don't think there's anything to sort out here. I know who I am and I know what I know. Because sometimes what people say and do, and they might try to impose that, I just shrug it off. And there's no conversation to be had. I don't know why I said all that. It just feels relevant. So.
Well, you know what that reminds me of is my father. He always says, "Don't catch the ball." If somebody's trying to do something with you, if they're trying to engage with you, just like if you're playing, you know, somebody wants to play catch, they throw a ball at you, your instinct is to catch it. Metaphor for if somebody's trying to throw chaos at you, throw adversity at you, don't catch it.
Good reminder, Michael.
All right.
Absolutely.
And we have Tabitha next. Tabitha, I have for you tonight 42, trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Well, with the Seven of Spades as the support card, Tabitha, I want to say walk away. And I guess what I mean by that is walk away and you come out on top. So again, I think I'm not meaning to play off of what we picked for Jamil. It's just trust and integrity with that Seven of Spades. Seven of Spades is you can be making away with more than that's yours, or somebody's making away with more than, you know, taking something away from you and taking what they haven't earned. And in this case, using your trust, self-trust, and your integrity, you just rise above and don't let anybody steal your thunder. Don't let them steal your energy either. So, you know, it really does come down to trusting you. So rise above and you come out on top.
I really like the way that you worded that. Wonderful. All right, we have Dr. Jeff next, if I'm not mistaken.
We do.
Dr. Jeff, glad to have you tonight. I have number 26, Energy Signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy. Remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
I want to say all in, you come out on top, Jeff. So you have the Ace of Spades here. So with that energy signature and the Ace of Spades, it's overcoming challenges to rise to the top. It's success through some challenge. So clear away the debris. Keep your focus. Move forward. Absolutely move forward. Give it all you got. It's just I'm a big fan of this one. So whatever it is, go for it.
All right. And we have, I hope I'm saying this right, I'm probably butchering it, but Khaled, I have...
Khaled,
thank you.
Yeah, Khaled.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Khaled, we have number 10, Indomitable Power of the Human Spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
I think you've got some good news coming, Khaled. You know, with that, you know, that power of the human spirit, and you have the Page of Hearts, Page of Cups here. It's communications. So everything is in a matter of communicating and doing it in a very positive way. But my first thought is you have some good news coming to you. I don't know if that's advancement somehow, having shown yourself, gone the extra mile, you know, like that, that card that Dr. Kelly has is the and then some. It's being noticed and there's good news coming. That's a prediction, I guess.
I like that prediction. All right. And we have Dr. Kevin. Dr. Kevin, I'm glad that we were able to touch on a couple key points for you. I'm glad you took some stuff away from the discussion. Read that in chat earlier. Appreciate that. And I hope this connects as well. It's number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
You know, Kevin, I just had this, and it happens once in a while, Michael. I had this flash of you being in a circle of people and you're talking. So, and they're listening to you. So I don't know if you belong to Toastmasters, some kind of talking, you know, group. It could be a book club for all I know. But there's a small circle of people because the King of Clubs come up here and it's what they're listening to what you have learned. So you're allowed to, in this situation, and I think it's kind of something that's synchronized where you wouldn't have expected it. It's not planned, but you happen to be there, and you're able to share yourself and be, you know, maybe not the authority, but have some comfortable authority of things that you're speaking of. So I think that's a good turn of events for you here, Kevin. It's like you're being listened to. So, boy, I hope that makes sense because I just had that picture in my head so clear, Michael.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. We have Dr. Raven next. And getting a lot of cards in the existential suit tonight. Let's see. We have number 18, Evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Gee, if you've been struggling a bit with finances, Raven, I want to say hang in there. You got the Page of Pentacles here. So that's the Page of Diamonds. It's coming. You know, it's like that hard work is going to start to pay off. It might only be kind of dribbling in at the moment, but things are going to become. I have to be careful and choose my words here, Michael, because it becomes more consistent. I also see that you might be offered something part-time, so that gives you a little bit of stability while you continue to build on your dream and what you want to do, because this is absolutely about evolution. So, all right. That's a really positive one, Raven. Just hang in there. So don't get discouraged. So if you're feeling those moments, you know, those days where, oh, you know those days, Michael, that I don't know if you do, but you're walking around your life and then suddenly you feel a little teary, but you don't know why. Sometimes
Yeah.
It's that unconscious kind of, you know, emotional stress coming forward. And I feel like that's lifting for Raven. If you've been feeling that way, Raven, it lifts.
Well, good. I like to hear it.
Okay.
All right. And we have our last card of the evening for Audra and another card in the existential suit. It's number 16, Continuity of Life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity in the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
Well, as this is really profound, Audra, because you got the Death card. And I was really struggling as I'm, you know, got the cards all fanned out and I it's over there. And yeah, well, that makes sense. Continuity of life and rebirth. You're onto something and I feel like you're right at the precipice of it. So in this continuity of shifting and changing, something like you're right on top of it. I won't even say around the corner or down the block. You know, it's you're right on target. So it It's even like 1 hour, one day at a time. Because it's just, I feel like you just have to wait a few more days and things are going to, you're going to start feeling better and good news coming. Because you're in a rebirth is what it is, simply that. All right.
I love it. You know, I've been noticing, you go ahead. I think we're touching on the same thing.
I so appreciate this feedback.
Absolutely.
Can't tell you.
That's it.
Well, in the chat, of course, I have to back up to Dr. Mike saying, you know, we had, for him, Gaines and the Emperor. Well, he's officially retiring in April. That makes perfect sense there. And, you know, and Tabitha and Caleb. Caleb actually starts his training tomorrow to become a peer support specialist, which is a dream of his. And he had the indomitable power of the human spirit in the Page of Cups. So that is there. And Kevin, I so appreciate you. He said tonight's reading was meaningful and that the positive energy from tonight's show, he says sometimes it feels as though, you know, we're talking directly to him. I think that everything we speak of is timely in a way. And even though these cards that can be directed at someone, I think we'll all glean something from it. But even the topic of the night, you know, honestly, Michael and I, sometimes we wing it because it's a feel thing. Now, Michael might disagree, but what we feel, and I think we're kind of tuning in, you know, with this universal energy, we're tuning into what do we need to talk about today, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad for the feedback that it fits for a lot of people. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes it's just whatever I feel like I need to talk about because
therapy can be so
expensive. Jeez, I'm just going to go ahead and complain to you guys.
That's funny.
But, no, I think a lot of times just in our day-to-day lives, you know, Dr. Vicky, I know that you and I have talked about how whatever's happening, you know, just makes us think about different angles about awareness, about life, about how to deal with it. You know, these are all things that we tackle in metaphysical humanism. But you know,
well,
it's...
And I think next week, I think what Michael and I are going to do is dive into some cards right away. And we're not going to have a particularly long show because I'm going to a birthday party. So we're going to dive into some cards, have a conversation, you know, throughout that. Look, I'm not diving out on you in 15 minutes, guys. Bear with me.
We're going to give you at least 18.
I know. It's my daughter's 44th birthday, my eldest daughter's birthday. And, you know, so we all agreed to have a little bit of a later supper, which when I asked her, I said, look, can I still do the program now? Come over at about 7, you know, because it only takes me, honestly, it takes me 5 minutes to get there. And I said, if we can come over and have a 7 o'clock supper. And she looked at me and started laughing and said, oh, Mom, we only eat early when you're here. We always eat at 7.
You know, that's funny. Sometimes I'll call my folks, it'll be like 6 o'clock, and they're like, oh, we're just sitting down to dinner. I'm like, dinner? It's 6 o'clock. Back when I used to live with you, it was 7:30 every night.
Yeah, I know. But it's a fun thing. I'm going to see her at lunch anyway. My eldest daughter, twice a week, she works with the Community Arts Center here, and they have a Joining Hands program, which is folks with learning differences and certain altered abilities. And so she teaches classes to these groups all days on Wednesdays and Fridays. And I've gotten to know some of her clients, a lot of fun groups. And so I'm going to go down there at lunch and, you know, feed them. See, she doesn't like birthday cake. Michael, it's always apple pie.
Pie.
Take down for that group, I'm just going to kind of meet it halfway and it'll be an apple cake.
Hey, there you go.
So they'll be happy. Then she'll get the apple pie for supper.
Well, my inspiration is for my next birthday, I'm asking for pie. But,
yeah.
Well, looking forward to
it. Everybody's different.
Well, definitely looking forward to that. You know, we're going to have a interesting discussion, a little bit shorter than normal, but hey, we're looking forward to having you. And, you know, just. It's chaos. It's a little bit of adversity. It's people kind of, you know, taking sides, tribalism, kind of a lot of polarization. But we can find civility. We can make the world better. We can push through. And before we kind of end the evening's broadcast, any last thoughts from you, Dr. Vicky?
"Oh, you know, guys, just hang in there. You know, sometimes you have to turn the cheek, you have to walk away, rise above, go, you know, WTF, like, you know, and just shrug." I heard a meme, I read a meme not too long ago. If you want to believe 2 + 2 = 5, no problem, because you had to carry the one. You know, everybody's got their own way of doing things.
Oh, true enough.
I thought that was so funny. Everybody's got their own reality, and just walk away, because it's all as the pendulum swings. Oh, you know that alcohol is absolutely bad for you now? Even 2 drinks a week is so bad. And I'm thinking, did a man write this? What? Yeah, you know, 1 week coffee's good, then it's bad. This is good, then it's bad. You know, I just shake my head. So.
Well, I have a feeling that absolutely zero people are going to actually pay attention to it. So.
Exactly. So I say, hang in there. That's my message of the week. Hang in there, everybody.
Well, good message. Good message to go out on. We look forward to having you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.